Okay, be honest with me. Are you using your past perceived failures as a blueprint for your future actions? And if you can relate to that, maybe you might like this concept that I stumbled across this week called proof of failure. Ooh, let's talk about it. Hi everyone, my name's Danny Abram. I'm an animator in the UK and this is Retakes Podcast, the self-help section for industry animators. Thank you so much for tuning back in. How are you? Are you having a good week? Thank you so much for your feedback for the last couple of episodes. I was really hoping to make this a weekly podcast, but it's really hard being the one that's looking at the numbers because the numbers have dropped off massively. So maybe you guys don't want a weekly podcast. Maybe that's just too much. My favorite podcast is weekly. It's every Friday and it's just some random bird talking absolute shite about her life, and I love it, and I can't wait for Fridays for that podcast. It's every week, so I was just trying to give others what I enjoy myself. Short episodes, but regularly. And that might not be what you love about a podcast. I don't know. Maybe if you could let me know, that would be amazing, because I'm kind of like in the dark a little bit, and I'm just looking at some stats, and stats can really eat away at you in like a negative way. Like I can get if I let myself succumb to that, I will start to maybe follow the numbers a bit too much, and then everything gets watered down then, doesn't it? Like nothing is what anyone wants, because I'm aiming for some weird average that I've made up in my head based on what I think numbers mean. Do you know what I mean? So if I just focus on like what I want to get out of it, then maybe that is the way forward. I don't know. Let me know if you have any strong feelings either way, whether you think weekly is too much. Maybe bi-weekly is your vibe. Maybe monthly, back when me and Leah did it together. Maybe that was more fun. I don't know. Let me know. That would be really handy, actually. Thank you for that. And thank you again for writing in. Yeah, really nice. If you've sent me a message, then you need to know this. You have made my little day. thank you. Every little message I get, I'm like, oh God, I hope I've written back to you and said, you do not know how much I needed this. Thank you very much. It can be really hard to sit here and talk to no one. And so those, they really land for me. They hit hard. They keep me on track and they're so nice to hear. Thank you so much. I was listening to a self-help book, obviously, last week or maybe the week before, and I can't remember which one it was now because I just read too many. It's a real problem, but is it? I don't know. I love self-development, so I'm happy to have that problem, to be fair. So I'll just keep plowing forward with that, and every single time I glom onto something really juicy, I think like, oh, that will be great for me to start thinking about next. But it does mean that I often can't remember where I found this piece of advice. This might have been from the book Your Inner Voice is a Big Jerk, I think it's called, or your Inner Critic is a Big Jerk. I can't remember. I'll search that out while I'm editing this podcast, and I'll put it in the show notes just in case anyone is interested, because that was a really good book. And I think this concept came from that book, and that is proof of failure. Now, I googled proof of failure after hearing those words and thinking, oh, that sort of rings true. That gets me thinking. That gets me like understanding something else about myself that I want to then analyze and work on. And I googled proof of failure and I couldn't really find anything written about it or anything concrete or any like real psychological studies on this kind of thing. So it might have just been this author had coined this phrase and I really like it. And I wanted definitely to, I wrote it down in my app, at my notes app straight away. Like I want to talk about this almost immediately because this is something that I suffer with. And suffering is the right word, because my God, like I have let failure infect my every single day on so many different occasions, so many different things I've tried. I have let that come into my head and stop me from making any positive step forwards or stop me from even trying in the first place. And I thought like maybe you can relate to this. So what is proof of failure? It is where you have failed at something and then you use that perceived failure. I'm going to keep saying perceived because we have no real, you can't really fail really, as long as you keep trying. So I'm going to keep saying perceived failure rather than failure, just to be kind to myself. Like, one of the big things I've learned from mindset coaching is having that kinder inner voice. And so you don't use those big harsh words. So judging your future outcomes on your past failures, that is what proof of failure is. You have a failure or a proof of failure in your mind, and so it stops you then from doing future things. For example, I can't apply for that job because I didn't get that job title on another project. That is a vague example, but maybe you can relate to that because I can. So without like watering it down, I might talk about some personal experience with this and give you some real life, actual Danny Abram examples, which fills me with utter dread because I usually keep all this kind of stuff in my head, but that was not why I started this podcast. So better out than in, I say. So this has come up really recently. And so this is where I caught myself already in this cycle of this proof of failure. And it was a friend of mine messaged me and said, oh, Blue Zoo are hiring. Great. Go for it. Go for it, everybody. Get your applications into Blue Zoo. I had a visceral reaction to this message from my friend because I was like, oh, bloody Blue Zoo, the one I can't crack. Like, I can't apply to that. And here is why. Once upon a time, I can't remember when, it must have been absolutely years ago, which is so funny for this example. Years ago, I applied to Blue Zoo for, I think, a 2D Toon Boom role. I'm not sure what the project would have been. I completely lost track of like what they're up to and what they make. But I applied and I got like a HR rejection really quickly. I want to say within the days, maybe even earlier than that. I can't quite remember. In my head, it was nearly immediately. So I remember making that link. This is why it's such a visceral memory, is because like I've made it worse than it probably actually was. But in my mind, it was immediate. And I remember thinking something like, oh, that is the fastest HR rejection I've ever received. Like, I built the drama up in my mind. And the way I use that as my proof of failure is that now, if I've ever seen that Blue Zoo are hiring again, I will not apply. I will not apply because my brain has made the following sentence true. Blue Zoo don't want me. And it's like, you have to say it out loud sometimes for you to understand how silly that sentence that's swimming around my brain actually is. I haven't got the foggiest clue who would have sent that email, whether it's automated and it is quite like HR system based, or if somebody who has actually looked at my stuff with human eyes and said, no, not quite what we're after, or if it's just the wording in my application has gone through some sort of HR system and is rejected based on, I don't know, a technicality. It seemed really quickly to me at the time for someone to have looked at it and then made the decision. Maybe they already had someone in mind, or maybe I was late. I don't know. I don't know any of those facts. So all these other facts swimming around this one little fact that I do remember and I've glommed onto, and that is like, I'm not good enough for Blue Zoo. So if they are hiring again, it stops me immediately applying. And that is a failure on my part. Nothing to do with Blue Zoo. I hate this example because it's like, I hate using my own failure, but I think maybe quite a lot of us out there have been through this situation where you feel that you are a certain level of competence. I feel like, I mean, if this was years ago, it was still within, I'm a senior animator. I've done a lot of stuff. I've done a lot of different shows. I've got a lot of good things on my showreel to show that I could probably do the job that they were hiring for, or else I wouldn't have applied in the first place, I don't think. So when I think about the rejection, I stack it up against like everything that I am. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I am all of this and you have said no, therefore I am not good enough. Also, because I've got all those years experience, I am not used to being HR rejected. I keep saying HR rejected because it was just a really automated cold email that was like, on this occasion, you're not successful. Thanks very much. Stay in touch, HR, whatever. But I was at that level in my career where I'm not used to getting a cold reply. Like, I'm used to someone getting in touch with me, a human being, who I probably recognize the name of, if not already know, from somewhere. If I don't already know them from working with them, I know them from either Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn, or a networking opportunity somewhere. I have probably met that person, or I know that name. So I got a little bit used to applying places and then having someone reach out to me who I'm not afraid of, and then we move forward with the application or don't. And that has become my normal. So when I got the HR rejection from Blue Zoo, I made this really immediate visceral link between me and my failure and this company. And it has stopped me applying for everything else that they've ever put out since. And I know loads of people who've worked at Blue Zoo, and I've worked with those people. I would consider myself on the same level as some of those people where we're chatting about Blue Zoo, we're chatting about the industry, or we're chatting about Blue Zoo in particular on another job. And I will say, like, oh my God, I cannot get into Blue Zoo. Like, how did you do that? And they will be like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I just applied and got in. And then I use that then again as more proof that Blue Zoo made it all about me. Like, I can't work there for some reason that I can't work out. And that's ridiculous. If I say it out loud, which I am right now, and I'm having a horrible time doing it, it feels gross and it feels silly. It feels really silly to say it out loud. There's another example that I can give for this proof of failure concept that has stopped me from moving forward in another area of my life, and that is with pitching projects to art funds and the BFI funds. I have sent projects for that kind of funding in the past. I've done it through studios as well in the past, and because I have ultimately not made it yet, ultimately I haven't been successful in that way, like that my project hasn't been picked, or it's been it hasn't even made it to the to the level where, like, it's not even in the running, like, say it's not even shortlisted, is it called? And I have been shortlisted sometimes as well, but, like, I've never actually made it. And so I come back down from that thinking, well, the problem is me. I'm not the right person, ultimately. A really recent example of that is last year's Beacons intake. I submitted a script for that and it got shortlisted this time, which is the furthest I've ever got. So the way it worked with that fund was that they will then award you a small amount of money for then you to develop the project further if they think that that is something that they might want to green light later on. And that was really excited because I got to go to meetings with BBC Wales, and I used the money to buy myself some really amazing producers and creative producers at Aardman Animations, and I used the money to gain some mentoring from a director there, and it was amazing. And so excited and so thrilling at the time. And then ultimately my project didn't get picked. And I used that as, like, well, I knew it. I knew I wouldn't get picked because I never get picked because I've got all this proof of failure. And so this time round for Beacons, even though they doubled the money that was on offer, so, well, not quite doubled. I think they went from the top award for Beacons for animation was £15,000, and I believe the round that has just closed, they went up to £25,000. So even though the money was higher, and you think, like, definitely try again, and I had loads of great feedback this time on my project, like, the script was funny, we liked it, we like you, you should try again, keep it in mind. In fact, I even had a meeting with Film Cymru Wales afterwards that was like, the fund is, you know, opening back up on such and such a date and closes by such and such a date. You should think about putting something in for it. And they even said those words to me. But I am sat in my failure smog, like, just covered in icky, horrible failure. Like, all I can hear is, like, we don't want you. And so when that fund opened up again, I didn't put anything in for it because I got a little bit of an attitude. I was a bit like, I am tired of failing. I can't go through it again. I'm tired of failing. I can't go through it again. And that's just informed my next and future actions. which when you say it out loud, is silly. If you have anything that you've failed and you're using that as a reason why you're not going to do it again or at least try again, maybe say it out loud, because this is horrendous. And it really does make it, like, as soon as you hear your voice out of, like, coming out of your mouth or going into your ears, it's almost like it's not you anymore. It's not that brain you. And I immediately want to say, don't be silly. Try again. So what? Why are you tarring all this with the same brush? Why would that be the case going, like, why would that be the case again? Why? And I can't answer that, really, because I know ultimately it's silly. And fundamentally, when I think about this concept of proof of failure, this is literally how my anxiety works. And I would hazard a guess, I'm not a psychologist, but I would hazard a guess that it is how your anxiety works too. So I have a really non-animated example of this, because my main and major anxiety has always, and I fear will always, be around travel. So I absolutely am, to my core, frightened, petrified, completely afraid, fundamentally, physically against travel. I cannot travel. I hate that I have to say that out loud. I hate that I hate travel. But like, if I get invited somewhere, so for example, I'm at A Productions at the minute, we are ending soon and there will be a wrap party. If I get invited to that wrap party, my first thought is, I can't get there though. I can't get there though. Like, you're all the way in Bristol. How am I going to come to a wrap party? I can't get there. And this is why. A million years ago, I tried to get on a train. And trains really is like my biggest fear. I absolutely hate a train. And I don't know why. Why I was gifted with this experience. But it happened to me and it has changed literally the course of my life. Honestly, I think I was in my really early 20s and I was heading from Bristol to Cardiff to meet a friend to watch Ponyo, I believe, in the cinema. And the train from Bristol to Cardiff, 40 minutes, 50 minutes maybe, tops, no, back then, no big deal, or so I thought. And I remember sitting down on the train and being fairly excited that I was going to see a friend and see the film that I wanted to see. And the train did this thing that I cannot control, I cannot predict, and I cannot stop from happening. But it did that annoying thing where it stops on the tracks for seemingly no reason. And this is such a core memory to me. I might find it hard to talk about. But the train stopped and I looked around and I thought, why has the train stopped? Why has the train stopped? And I was looking at other people's faces and no one was even batting an eyelid. Like, everyone, it was like almost as if anyone hadn't even noticed the train had stopped, or they were so used to the train stopping. And now I know that, like, that is a fairly normal thing for a train to do, is to stop on the tracks because they're letting some other train through further up down the line. You know what I mean? Like, there's some sort of intersection that they have to let clear before they can carry on. Or in some cases, there's a fault with the train for whatever reason and they've just had to stop to fix it, right? Really rational and logical reasons. But in my brain, back then, for some reason, this turned into an absolute threat on my life. I was sat in this chair, looking around and thinking, when will it move? When will it move? And I got so upset. I started sweating, started not being able to breathe properly. I'm looking around frantically. My eyes are all over the place. Like, what will happen? Where's the staff? What will happen? Where's the staff? And I don't know why this started to happen. I think there was a little build-up of anxiety in my early 20s anyway. There's a lot going on in my life back then that could attest to that. But in this moment, the train became my biggest threat and I was trapped on this train forever. And I immediately, and this is the worst bit, oh God, if you know me in real life, like, you know all about this, but if you don't know my real life, I'm really sorry, but I'm about to talk about IBS. I'm sorry. So the first thing then that happened was the physical sensation that I might need the toilet at any minute. I'm like, oh, the train stopped, but I need to get to Cardiff. I need to get to Cardiff because what if I need the toilet? And I know that there's toilets on trains. I know there are. But this one didn't. I think it was like a two-cart, no-toilet situation. 50 minutes, we're going to get there. Don't worry about it. And I remember thinking, my God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die because I need the toilet right now. And I got very, very upset. I then did. I couldn't distract myself from it. I didn't have anything in place back then to understand what was going on. And I just assumed that I was going to shit myself in public right here on this seat in the middle of this train that had stopped for no reason, and everyone was going to see it and everyone was going to laugh at me. And that people is fundamentally my biggest fear in life. Like, I've had this fear dictate every decision I've ever made since this moment. It's so sad. I wish I could go back and just be like, fix this one moment in my life and maybe everything will be great. So that's my first panic attack. My very first panic attack. I start to be able to not breathe. I start to think I'm going to lose control of my entire body and chiefly my bowels. So sorry. So sorry if you're eating breakfast. I start to really, really panic, and that is my first panic attack. And then every single train since that moment, and I am now, oh, it's my birthday tomorrow. I am now 38 years old. So that's nearly 20 years of this moment dictating the fact of whether I can go somewhere or not. Now, if that isn't using proof of failure to sabotage future actions, I don't know what is. That is how powerful proof of failure can be. Now, if you have anxiety, I know you can relate. There will be something else that happened to you that frightened you so much that then you were so afraid of that fear that that stopped you ever putting yourself in that position ever again. And I know we're talking about trains, and this might seem illogical and weird, but it has affected my career as well. Like, if I can't travel somewhere, I can't get to events, I can't get to studios. I have decided at some point that this failure was so big that I've often said the sentence like, I can't catch trains, or I can't get there, or I can't do that, sorry. And it will be because I cannot physically see myself, or I can't visualize myself on that train having a good time. So therefore, I cannot get to that place. I can't go to the BAAs in London. I can't go to Manchester Animation Festival. I can't go to Encounters Animation Festival. I can't get to Cardiff Animation Nights, and people, I live just outside Cardiff, and it is because it involves one bus journey. It's so annoying. but it's real. And I've had so much counselling and so much therapy and so much CBT and 15 years worth of medication. I have not cracked this yet. But it's such a good example of this using the failure as proof for never being able to do that thing again. I failed that train that day, and so I will never be able to catch a train again. So I hope you're wondering, well, what the hell can you do about it then? And I've been thinking about this all week, and I am actually quite excited about this because I want to test this out now. I want to test, see if this will work. So what can we do? Number one, the first thing is naming it. Naming it, recognize it and name it. This is my proof of failure coming up. This is just the proof of failure. That wording has just, it was like a light bulb switched on in my mind, and I was so excited. So then when I catch myself doing it again, I can say, ooh, no, that's just my proof of failure coming up. Recognizing it and naming it will remove you from it. Maybe say it out loud. Wait, that's just your proof of failure. Whenever your friends are saying it, say it to them. Name it. So number one, recognize and name it. Number two, flip the script. What is your proof of success? So with the Blue Zoo thing, I have applied to many, many studios since that rejection from Blue Zoo and have gotten the job without an interview, without a test, with barely any friction whatsoever. A company have just gone, oh yeah, we know you, or oh yeah, we've heard of you, or oh yeah, you can do what we need. And they've just onboarded me immediately. And I've been like, happy days, I am an animator. And just because I got that one HR rejection from Blue Zoo does not mean that I shouldn't and couldn't work at Blue Zoo in my timeline. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe I should apply to Blue Zoo. I'm not going to, I'm busy. But it's not because of my proof of failure. With the proof of success with the pitching, Maybe I don't quite have proof of success yet. I have proof of progress. So each time that I have then applied for funding or I've pitched inside a studio, I've learned something that has progressed me. I have learned something that then would take me to the next step. The last time that I applied, I got the development funding. So that was £1,000 that I could then use to make my project better. And using that to make my project better has taught me a ton. Like having those major voices that I bought mentoring with an Emmy-winning director and having him look at my work and talk me through the process of like how he would make that better taught me loads. Talking to a producer from Aardman that then worked with me to create a new budget and a plan taught me loads about budgets and plans. And so for the next time that then I will go to submit an application or go to pitch something, I'm going to go armed with all that knowledge. So I have that proof of progress that I can then use as, you know, that was a past success. It does not have to be this big failure that then stops me from doing it again. And really recently, I've actually got quite excited about another idea that I went through some old sketchbooks the other day with a friend. Old sketchbooks, man. My friend Johnny called it mining for ideas. And I really love that term because that is exactly what I was doing. I was going through my old sketchbooks, like where was like my 2020 sketchbook, my 2021, 2022. Like there's so many things in there that I've forgotten that I'd even drawn, forgotten all the notes I'd made at the time. Mining for ideas. And I stumbled upon something that I was like, oh, why did I ever let that go? That I was pulling a thread. And at the time I was exploring and experimenting in my sketchbook. And I love that idea looking back now from my 2023 shoes. I'm like, oh, why did I ever let that go? Why did I stop doing that? And then it gives me that little tingle of like, oh, maybe this could be something for Beacons next year. Maybe I can put something together. Maybe fucking, and here is where proof of success is like, it's really helping me. Maybe I can just fucking make it myself, you know? How exciting would that be? So flip the script. And then step three, last step, I promise. It's a three-step process. Step three, proceed anyway. Apply to Blue Zoo anyway. Apply for funding anyway. And Danny, get the train anyway. I've never actually shit myself on a train. Get the train. Go to the rap party. Go anyway. But proceed. So I really hope that you can just take all of that and whatever it is that you're fighting with right now, whatever it is that you're stopping yourself from doing because you have proof of failure, that you can just proceed anyway because you do not know what will happen, and tarring every future success with that proof of failure that you've been hanging on to is silly. Granny Abram is here to tell you that is silly. Proceed anyway. Woo! Woo! Oh, okay. I feel excited. I do feel really excited about this one. I hope this landed with you. I hope this is something that you can relate to, or you've busted through it yourself and you come and tell me your successes. Come and tell me where you tried something again where you thought you wouldn't and it worked out this time. Like, I want to hear that. That would be so exciting because I feel like no one talks about this stuff. Like, you get on a pipeline with all those amazing animators that you've followed all your career, or you know from networking, or you know from Twitter, etc., etc., and you're all there and you're all just like, great, we're here now. Like, no one really talks about like how how did you get here, how are you feeling. I love it. I love talking about how I'm feeling. Don't know if you can tell. So yeah, please do reach out and let me know if you've got any successes. Oh, and I will share them. That would be so nice. If you want me to share them, I will. I think we should big up each other and our wins. It's a tough world out there. Thank you so much. And if you want to reach out, I am retakespod@gmail.com and retakespod on Instagram. I think I'm going to drop Twitter because I freaking hate it. It's toxic as heck. Every time I go on there, I want to throw my phone in the sea. So yeah, get in touch with me on Instagram because it's my favorite place right now. So yeah, join me next week for another juicy topic and have a great week animating, guys. You are doing great. Bye.